It's good to have you back. Yeah. My purse.
Listen, the King James Version speaks about Judas having the purse.
Ah.
You see now.
Okay.
It's a money purse.
I got I lack theology, so it was. As we were trying to find or to hear what the Lord had on his heart for this morning, it sort of really spread in the prayer meeting on Friday morning. So I want to encourage you guys, if you want a part of the action and a little bit of prep before Sunday, Friday morning at Martin's Place is the place to be. What we did feel that came strong, or came the word that came strongly, was thirst. Are we thirsting his spirit? And I spent some time just thinking about that since Friday till this morning. And this is just to, like John the Baptist prep the. So I'm just preparing the way of the purse. So I really felt like it's quite interesting. Your body can go 3 to 4 days, maybe 3 to 5 days without water. And then things start really going wrong with your organs. And if you look at a comrade's marathon runner, you could be the fittest guy, you can be the most prepared. On the day of the race, if you don't stay hydrated, you are not going to finish. And same in the spiritual, in the spirit, if we're not thirsting the spirit, I want to say almost hourly, even every minute, every day, if you miss a day, the body is affected. The body starts drying out. You start aging. No one wants to age. It's your liver and your everything starts malfunctioning. And it's a message for everybody. Every single one of us sitting here plays a role in this body, in this field. And in order for the kingdom to advance, we need to be drinking of his spirit. Okay.
Good. Amen. You can go home now. Yeah. All right. Beautiful. Thank you for that introduction. It's good to have a John the Baptist around every now and again. And afterwards, we can all go and get baptized again in water. Water, like real water. Okay. Down. All right. I'm going to dive right into the word this morning. I really believe it is an important thing. An important word for us, that we get into what God is really preparing for us. John Piper said this thing. He said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied with him. And I think that's a starting point for me this morning. How satisfied are we with God? Sometimes, and we can go our whole Christian life, our whole Christian walk, with not really being satisfied, with just having enough, just to know that I'm a Christian, just to know that I've been born again, just to know that I'm part of what God had planned and purposed for my life. But we miss something much more. The one thing I want to do for you today is illustrate quite clearly that we need the Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit. And I must also say, just to help you in a theology, if you have a theology or a doctrine on the Holy Spirit does not come to us in portions. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive all of him. And when you're born again, you receive the Spirit, all of him. But there are manifestations that are greater manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we've been hungering for over the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, fill us Holy Spirit, manifest yourself. And that's really what I want to pray today, even in our time, that we will have a manifestation of Holy Spirit in our lives that is different from every other one. And maybe it's just a lack of understanding in terms of what he can, will, and wants to do in your life today. So I've really titled this preach, The Thirst. The Thirst. John 4, verse 11 says this, and I'm reading from a New Living Translation. Jesus replied, "If only you knew, if only you knew," and maybe we don't know, "if only you knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I will give you living water." But sir, this is a story around a woman that had come up to the well, and this was her response when Jesus spoke to her and said, "If only you knew." She said, "But sir, you don't have a rope or bucket." And she said, "The well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? Besides, do you think you are greater than Coca-Cola or Lion Lager or Castle? Are you greater than a religion that we that we've come to know the Lord in? And this well is a well of Jacob, and that's what you said. Our ancestor Jacob made this well. He gave us this well. How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" And Jesus replied and said this, "Anyone." Is there anyone here this morning? We're all anyone's, eh? "Anyone. Anyone who drinks of this water will soon become thirsty again. Will soon become thirsty again. Whatever the water is, and however it is, will soon become thirsty. But those, us, you and me, who drink of the water that I will give him, will never be thirsty again. It comes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." And by the way, you don't need a rope or a bucket to get it. "Please, sir," she said, "give me this water. Then I will never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here and get water." What is implied by this illustration in the scripture is simply this. The well, the river, the gushing spring, the deep enough to swim in river of God is available to us. But it is something that you need to day by day be drinking. So thirst is not just something that we have. It is not just a natural response, even of our bodies. We are thirsty, we become thirsty. And it actually declares that even when you begin to thirst, you're already beginning to get dehydrated. Just the beginning. And we need to be thirsty, but it's useless being thirsty and not having something to drink. It is useless to have thirst and not drink or not fulfill or satisfy that thirst, because we'll walk away being empty. And we'll thirst again. We need to be thirsty. We go to John again. John 7, verse 37. "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, if anyone thirsts,'" I cry out even over this congregation today, "if anyone thirsts." And there will need to be a response of your heart. There needs to be a response of your heart. If anyone thirsts, when I say these words, is anyone thirst? Do you have thirst? "Let him come to me, and out of his heart," some scriptures say out of his belly, out of his womb, out of his innermost being, out of that part of his life, out of that part will what happen? Will flow rivers, flow, gushing rivers. As a fountain, as a church, we need to gush. We need to gush with the flow of the Holy Spirit. We need to gush with quenching our thirst, having quenched our thirst. It is important for us. And it goes on to say that now he spoke about the Spirit. The ultimate thirst is the thirst for the Holy Spirit. The thirst for the Holy Spirit. We cannot imagine a dwelling place or a place where we have that we don't have the Holy Spirit. Christianity is nothing without the Holy Spirit. We are born of the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. The Bible speaks of him as the Parakletos. That's a Greek word for one being called alongside to comfort, to help, to intercede, to become part of your life, that you don't walk it out alone. Christianity is not intended to be walked out alone. But we need to be filled with something, the water, the living water, the water that he gave us, the water that he intended us to drink all the time. It is a well of water. It is something that you go to on a daily basis, even moment by moment. There's not a day in a part of your life that you don't get thirsty. You get thirsty, you'll be thirsty, and it's the same in your spiritual walk, that you are thirsty all the time. And your thirst is desirous of pure water. Your spirit, pure water. It is easy to fill up our lives with things that we believe are greater than the well of Jacob that I read to you in the beginning. That we can fill our lives with the Coca-Cola or the religion or whatever you want to call it, that other filling, the thing that just satisfies enough, whatever it may be. So water, by simple definition, H2O, covers 70% of the Earth's surface. That's a lot of water. There are billions and billions and billions of liters of water around. But you cannot quench your thirst on the sea. This is salt water. The water that you seek is the water that God will give you, the only water that really satisfies. The joy of this, that the scripture defines water as very vast. It speaks in large statements. Rivers, rivers, dams, seas, overflowing, floods, rivers, rain coming upon us. And it is the same in the Spirit. It is very vast. That which can quench your thirst is very vast. For it is the Holy Spirit without end. Our thirst can never exceed the amount of water that is available for us. You can drink and 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 be satisfied with the very thing that God wants us to have. With all this said about being thirsty and having something to drink, being that the Holy Spirit is the one, it is actually a person that satisfies. It is him that satisfies. It is him that actually fills our lives. That very fullness, the very thing that we drink of, is not a liquid. It is a spirit. His spirit that flows. Often called a liquid. A water of life. Abundant, great. Question would be this morning, how thirsty are you? Have you gone beyond your limit already and you're already dehydrated? Have you gone beyond your limit? Is Sunday the only day that you come to refresh your thirst? That you come here to be filled up with that which God has desired for you? Desired that you'd have that every day of your life, all the time in your life? Thirst. thirsty. Deep thirst. The shadow of our default is simply this, and is reckoned to us in Jeremiah 2, verse 13, says this, for my people. And you say, well, that's very Old Testament here. Jeremiah is Old Testament. But it's very definitely still my people that he speaks to. And it is my people that he's speaking to you this morning, to you, to every one of you. My people have committed two evils. The only two evils that we can really commit, really, that really mean a lot in our relationship with God. The two evils is this: you have forsaken me. But he defines that. He actually defines that in the scripture. He says, you have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. You have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And you have made cisterns. You've cut out cisterns. You've made wells that hold no water. I'm not angry with you, folks. I'm stirring up something in you that you became thirsty, and you will fulfill your thirst. And you say to me, well, what do I do? Do I pray more? Do I go to church more? Do I have more meetings? What do I do? What do I do? How do I do? How do I fulfill that thirst? The simple word that Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. It's not an exercise. It's not a routine. It should be an exercise and a routine. Come to me. Come to me. And I will baptize you. I will fill you up. I will quench your thirst. Come to me. For out of your belly, your very being, your innermost being, your heart that we spoke of earlier this morning, your heart will be filled with living water. And he said, if you drink this water, you will not thirst again. It doesn't mean to say that you don't go there often. It doesn't mean to say that you stop. It's not a one-off. You don't get filled up. It's something that needs to overflow every part of your day, every part of your life, every aspect of your life, your marriage, your work, wherever you find yourself, overflowing with the fullness of the spring of life. Gushing, gushing. The river doesn't flow for a while and stop. A river that's flowing flows, a well that is deep. A beautiful story. One of our first trips, Marima and I, our first trips across the border into Namibia, we were commissioned to go and help and minister into a church in Namibia. And we stayed with people in a place called Stumprit. It's pretty much a desert. When you cross the border, the amazing thing about Namibia, it's just like a desert. There's just like vast spaces, empty spaces, and all that you find is rocks everywhere. Sand, rocks. And as we approached this house, we were given a bucky, 4x4, what do you call them in real life? A Toyota or something like that, or Ford, a Hilux. Let me not get it wrong. We weren't given a purse. We weren't given a wallet anyway, either. But we were given the keys of this bucky, and we got on this road, and it was a sand road like forever, and it's just like desert, desert, desert everywhere. Where is this house? We are going to Stumprit. Where is this house? Yeah, the GPS didn't even find it. The guy just said, stay on this road, and you'll find the place. And suddenly, in the distance, we saw this green patch, just like palm trees. Are we having a little bit of a mirage? Is this real? In the midst of this desert place? So we arrive there, we drive up the driveway, the sprinklers are going, the water's just all over the place. It's a farm. Everything is green. Cattle are happy. Sheep are happy. The springbok are happy. Almal daar is happy. Everything is green. So anyway, the joy of it is we're getting invited into the house. We are introduced to the couple. We were given a room. It was a lovely room. And so I said, you know, are there limitations on, you know, if we have a shower? No limitations. Shower as long as you like. As long as you want to. Shower as long as you want to. They have an artesian well that has served them for the last three generations of their family, which is probably around 60, maybe 70 years, that this artesian well has been serving them. It is two plates of rock underneath the earth that are jammed together, and in the midst or in between these two rocks is water, a river, underground water. And all they did was drill a hole through the top rock. And he said, come, let me show you. It was a pipe that I don't think I could put my arms around the pipe. That's how big this pipe was. And on top of it, there was a lid. And he said, all we have to do is open the lid. There's no fancy equipment. There's nothing that we have to do. I just need to open this lid. And if I open the lid now, we cannot get it closed. It is bolted closed. It has taps on it to release the water. And for every single day, every single month, every single year that artesian well has been used, it has been supplying water. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. As an artesian well, that I may tap into this and drink and be satisfied. Satisfied with my God, filled with my God, overflowing with my God. You see, friends, it's not about your Christianity that I'm talking. It's not about your commitment to God. I'm talking about a life that goes beyond your commitment. But you can become a Christian, but you can be empty. You can just live on enough. I'm talking about living on everything that God has for us, that our thirst will be quenched. Let me finish off, and I want to use David as an example. It's just a couple of verses that David speaks. And David was a man that spoke a lot about thirst. Did he love God when he spoke about it? He loved God. He loved God. When Jesus was on the cross and he cried out, I am thirsty. What do you think he cried for? I know the scripture says that it is fulfilled of the scripture that he would be thirsty. But what was he thirsty for? Just a few minutes before that, he had actually cried out and said, my God, my God. He had never referred to his father as my God. My God. Why have you forsaken me? It was the moment that you and I's sins were laid upon Jesus. God forsook him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It was a moment that God gave account for, to say, I will allow it to happen. It was not a pleasure. We read in that word, he was pleased. It was not his pleasure. It was an allowance. He had to shut his eyes, had to hold his heart, had to hold his being together. You think, what kind of emotions was God going through? Jesus said, I thirst. I thirst. One of the crowd came up and gave him a sponge filled with vinegar. And he drank of the vinegar. And straight after that, he used these words, it is finished. It is finished. And the very last words that he spoke, Father, Father, I commit my spirit to you. I commit my spirit, Father. From God you have forsaken me to Father. His thirst had been quenched. David, and Psalm 63 says this, oh God, we need that to be part of our language sometimes, friends. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. In Psalm 62, David says this, God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, and I shall not be shaken. Other psalm writers speak of thirst. Psalm 42 says this, as the deer pants for the flowing streams, that intense thirst the deer has, as the deer thirsts for the flowing streams, so pants my heart. My heart is spent, my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts, despairs for my God, the living God. Nothing less than God will satisfy, friends. Nothing less than Jesus. Nothing less than the Holy Spirit. And as I said to you, the Holy Spirit is not given to you in portions. This is a revelation of something of the Holy Spirit that you may not have known before, that you need a drink of him. Jesus said, when you are thirsty, you come to me. Seek me, find me, love me. All these commands that God gives us are not instructions to hurt us and to make it difficult to follow him, make it difficult to be a child of God. All these instructions are there for us to be refreshed in him, to be satisfied in him. So when you love God, it is not just something that you have to do. It is something that you become part of. I love God with all my heart, with all my desire. I'm thirsty for him. I'm thirsty this morning, friends. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for Eisenfontein to be filled with that thirst and to have it quenched. We don't just look, we're not looking for people to join the church. We want people to be thirsty. Thirsty for a God that you and I know today. So maybe this morning, you love God, you enjoy God, but are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? Are you thirsty for him? You can find, I don't want to say you can find it in your prayers, but it doesn't necessarily quench your thirst. You can find it in coming to the meetings, doesn't necessarily quench your thirst. Jesus said, and I want to reiterate these words over and over again. Come to me. Come to me. How do I come? Just come. All of you that are thirsty, come to me. And I will give you, and I will give you, and I will give you a water that you will quench your thirst. And your life will be fulfilled. Make room in your heart for that, my friend, today. Make room in your heart. Maybe you need to deal with some stuff along the way. Maybe there's a brokenness inside of you that you have to deal with, and we can pray about that this morning. But I want us to stand, every one of us. Let's stand together. I don't want to volunteer, but I want to ask, if you feel thirsty, I want to invite you, come, let's pray, stand together in the front here, make room in the front, come and pray, and let us ask the question of God this morning. Not Henry, don't lay hands on me, you don't need my hands, and lay the Bible in you, no matter. He said, come to me. Come to me. The last day of the feast, come to me. You want gushing waters out of your belly, out of your life. You want gushing waters. Is your Christianity gushing? Is your walk with God gushing? Overflowing. You don't have to say, make me thirsty. You are thirsty. You are thirsty. When you're born from day one, you're thirsty. The first thing you do is drink. The first thing you do is drink. I wanted to read this one scripture to you. Five verses from the end of the Bible. Five verses from the end of the Bible says this. The Spirit and the bride say, come, talking about Jesus coming. And let the one who hears say this, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Five verses before the Bible comes to a close. The water, the water, the water, the water of life. So, do any of you feel you want some prayer? Come to the front. We can pray for each other. Do you all feel that? Do you all feel that this morning? Or is there no room in the front? You don't have to come, but if you really especially need prayer, then come to the front and we will pray with you as we bring you to the one that said, come. Come. All right. Reach out to the person next to you, please. Let's not be silent in the way and just sit around for a moment. Come. Come. Please come, Lord Jesus. Please come, Lord Jesus. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me, Lord Jesus. I come to you. My heart is thirsty. My heart is thirsty, Lord. Do I love you? Yes, Lord, I love you. Do I know you? Yes, Lord, I know you. But I'm still thirsty. Thirsty. Oh Lord, that my heart will be full today with a living water, Lord. A flowing river, flowing, flowing, flowing from my heart. Full of me, Lord. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. As we come, will you come? Holy Spirit, will you come? Be poured out. Our vessels, Lord, require of you to fulfill our thirst. We want to be most satisfied with you, Lord. Come, Father. All right, I'm going to stop speaking now. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. And maybe if you have something really special, say, please, I need. Then whatever it is, speak. Come. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Don't be afraid to speak loud. Don't be afraid to speak out. Even your prayers over each other, speak them out. Speak them out, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to encourage you this morning. This is not a one-off. This is not just something that we tick on our calendar and say we had a great day. I want us this week to make every effort to break through the rocks and get to the artesian well. To break through the rocks, whatever it is, things holding you back, things that you're struggling with, don't hesitate to reach out to your brothers, your family in the body of Christ. But break through the rock, break through the rock, break through the rock, get through the rock and get an artesian well, a well ever springing up, gushing, so that if you open the tap, there's water. If you open your heart, there's water. If you open your mouth, there's water coming fresh, gushing out of your soul. It says out of your heart, your innermost being will gush, gush fountains of living water. Let's make it a journey this week. Let's make it part of our lives, our lifestyle, in the hope that it is not just going to be another week, but it will be a week of weeks. It will be a month of months. It will be a year of years to the very last. Even five verses before Jesus comes. Five verses. Come to me and drink and drink and drink. Thank you, Father. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Let you go. I'm going to. I want to keep you here. I want to baptize you in more of this water if we can. All right. Thank you, beloveds. Enjoy this week. Please don't leave in a hurry. There's still coffee at the back, I'm sure. Have a bit of fellowship. Maybe even connect with somebody and say to me, would you pray for me this week? This week, I want to be full with the Spirit this week. This week. Not just speaking in tongues, but be full, quenching my thirst. Come on, man. Let's fill it up. Let's fill it up.